look like an evergreen, but they are turning golden. So who knew we had so many tamaracks as right now? And I always love birch, my favorite one. And boy, are they just popping and beautiful. So anyway, good morning. It is awesome to see you and be here together with you. I've got a question for you. Be honest. Honestly, who in here, especially you guys, who in here actually reads owner's manuals? Like, even if you do, you can't admit it, right? Like, who would ever say, you know, owner's manual? Like, yeah, just, they were only in the box for legal reasons, and you just throw them away. We'll figure it out, right? Figure it out. It'll be okay, honey. Don't worry. We don't need that worthless paper. Confession, I absolutely love owner's manuals. I love them. You probably already knew that about me. Chris has a big stack she's keeping safe for me right here. Big stack of owner's manuals. This is just a few of my owner's manuals. You should have seen the camper when we sold it. It had probably three times that many owner's manuals. Every appliance in there has a different owner's manual. I will confess I probably didn't read all of those, but I have read at least the important stuff in most all of these. I've got a snowblower, depth finder. Geez, nobody knows how to run those things today. An outboard motor, some steel stuff, snowblower or leaf blower, weed eater, chainsaw. I've even got my gas grill. 12 years old probably, still working, haven't replaced a single part, but when I do, this is right here, this is the part stuff I need to have. I love owner's manuals. These things, get them out of your way. Thanks, Chris, for keeping those safe. I love owner's manuals. They tell you things about your product. They tell you how to use your product correctly. They tell you how to maintain your product and care for your product correctly. Owner's manuals are neat. You can find out amazing things from an owner's manual about this new purchase that you just made. The kids always wanted to kind of chuck them, just throw them away. And I read through that, and more than on one occasion, I can remember their eyes getting big and saying, wow, I didn't even know this did that. The point is, owner's manuals are good. They're educational. They help us use the products effectively, maintain them correctly. They make things work better, last better. If you don't have the owner's manual, you don't know what to do with the thing, you have no idea what you might be missing, you don't know about proper use and proper care. Now, how does that pertain to us as disciples, followers of Christ? Think about the complexity of life as a disciple of Jesus, a follower of a risen Savior. And think about the things that we just simply don't know what to do and how to do it. It's a big deal to follow after Jesus. What about prayer? Think about our prayer lives. Do we have enough information for proper use and care to correctly use this incredible, powerful tool that God has given us? Are you ever guilty of feeling ignorant about how best to pray? To pray for someone in our church family, maybe a lost loved one that has not yet come to faith in Jesus? What about how to pray for yourself when you're struggling and feeling low and defeated? Do you ever feel ignorant or like there's just something missing? Maybe there's more to our prayer life than what we know. What if there was an owner's manual for our prayer lives as followers of Christ? Well, today we're going to be looking in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And by the way, I'm going to be using the NLT or New Living Translation this morning. So if you're like me and have one of these fancy electronic Bibles, you can, if you use the U version, you can go down to the ends and find the NLT, and that is the one that I'm using today. It just makes it even clearer, this process that we're going to go through. But anyway, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, boy, the book of Ephesians, you're going to accuse me of saying this about every passage, but I love this passage, I love this book. One of the neatest, most important books in Scripture, the book of Ephesians, 6 chapters, basically it's split in half. The first half is about coming to Christ, what it means to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. The second half is what that means in our lives, how we live out as followers of Jesus. Kind of an interesting book the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus as well as to us today. Very interesting. We'll just get right into the scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, again, remember in the NLT version, usually I use the CSB. Anyway, we're in verses 14 to 19. And the Apostle Paul writes, God's word says, when I think of all this, everything that's happened before, how God has called him into ministry, primarily to serve and reach Gentiles, non-Jewish believers. He says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and the richness and the power that's contained within it. Father, I thank you for the direction that we have from your word and how it is that we are called to live out our lives as believers. And Lord, I thank you for this message in particular. And I pray that you take it and speak it through me this morning boldly and clearly. Father, I ask you to open up each of our hearts and minds that all of us can more clearly understand who you are, the connection that we have with you, and how we can pray for each other and ourselves. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And the whole church family said, amen. The idea behind today's message is that every follower of Jesus can radically improve our prayer lives by following this owner's manual, if you will, that's contained here in this particular passage from the book of Ephesians. The owner's manual, when you open it up, the first part of this owner's manual is about passionate prayer. Now, those of you that that know me know that I am a passionate person. I'm one of those that's kind of an all or nothing kind of guy. If I'm going to do whatever, if I'm going to take up smallmouth bass fishing with topwater lures like every good follower of Jesus should, then I'm going to do it with everything I've got. I mean, I'm going to research it. I'm going to put some energy and effort into it. I'm going to do it because I'm passionate. I'm a passionate type of a person. God has built me and created me this way. One of the reasons that I am a fairly good preacher and speaker is because I'm passionate. I am so passionate about Jesus and the radical change he has made in my life and that he can make in your life as well. It makes me a good speaker because I can speak well and passionately about that subject. Sometimes that's a very good thing. Sometimes it's not so good. That same preacher passion and voice of mine isn't always good when my wife is sad and struggling. And I come at her as though I'm preaching to 150 people. When my kids are nervous or timid and I come at them with this voice, yeah, it's not always a good thing. There's definitely a need for some balance, but passion, I appreciate passion all or nothing. If you believe in it, then do it to the best of your ability. All in. Do it with passion. And so I love these first couple verses from today's passage as Paul explains verses 14 and 15 how he comes to God, because God is God and we are his subjects, his creation, and there's this respect that he is due. And I love how Paul explains it. He says, when I think of all this, everything that he said in the first three chapters, all about sin, separation from God, coming to faith in Jesus, a new, transformed life, and that God chose Paul, the least of all the apostles, just the lowest of everyone, to be used by him to reach not God's people, these other people, these Gentiles. Paul, he's humbled and blown away, and he says, when I think of this, God, when I think of what you've done in my life and how you're using me to spread the good news of Jesus, when I think of this, he says, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. The realization and recognition of who God is should drive us to our knees in humble prayer before him. The recognition and realization of what God has done on the earth and hopefully in your life should drive us to a passionate prayer, falling to our knees. I love the one of my favorite names for God is the Ancient of Days. I love that image and picture from the Old Testament where God is this ultimate judge and he is seated on the throne, and every living being that's ever been created, all humans will go before this throne and be judged by this Ancient of Days, this great and righteous judge. And we get to come to him in prayer. And Paul says, when I think about that, I fall to my knees and pray to you, oh God, you are the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. Do we have to get on our knees to pray to God? No. No, not at all. In fact, Paul says in another letter, he says, pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop praying to God. You don't have to be on your knees, should you? Yeah. It is so powerful to get on your knees before this holy, great, and mighty God and pray to him. Do you have to? No. Should you? Yeah, at every chance you get. When you're on your knees praying to God, it shows humility. Humility, the recognition that we are low and nothing in the sight of this great and mighty God. When we're on our knees, it makes us have an attitude of reverence and awe and respect before our God. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's not like trembling, absolutely afraid of. It's this unbelievable respect and awe and reverence for this great and mighty God, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. Maybe you've heard some of these big fancy words before, that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He holds all power in his hands. And God is omniscient. He's all knowing. God is all. He's above all. He's in all. God is everything. And that realization and recognition of the privilege we have as sinful humans to pray to this God should lead us to fall to our knees with respect and adoration. The first part of the owner's manual, how to effectively pray for others and ourselves, is to pray passionately, pray with purpose because of who God is. The second part of the owner's manual is proper prayers. Passionate prayer, and now it's proper prayer, correct type of prayer. I know for me, I often feel lost, at least struggle with how best to pray for you guys, how best to pray for certain people, certain ailments, certain situations. More specifically, my struggle can be when I know you're just simply struggling with life, with your spirit, with things deeper than physical needs. Are pretty simple. They've got the flu. Lord, please heal them quickly. But deeper than that, it's easy to feel lost and struggle with how to pray for others. And here is the thing. Every disciple, all followers of Jesus, we have a responsibility to pray for each other. To pray for each other, this body of believers, our church family, the greater Ledge Rock church family, responsibility to pray for each other, and especially me, your pastor. I covet your prayers. Some of you reach out and remind me, hey, I was praying for you this morning. Met with a couple others, and we lifted you and your family up this morning, and I covet your prayer. We have a responsibility to pray for each other and our leaders, your spiritual oversight team, all the different officers, the worship team, Dick and Carol leading us up here, and everybody that's involved in that, praying for everyone. Some of you have said, we heard it's Pastor Appreciation Month in October, and so, you know, love you and thank you. That's awesome. One of the greatest gifts you can ever give your pastor is praying faithfully for me. In this case, look at the first part of the next verse, how Paul says, after he's passionately praying, this is how we properly pray. He says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. I love that. God, the creator of heaven and earth, and I'm praying now that God, this creator of heaven and earth, from his unlimited power and resources. Remember his omnis. Omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience. I pray that God, from his infinite power, from his glorious, unlimited resources. I love that. When we pray to God, the proper way to pray is to come to God and say, God, from your unlimited power, I bring this request before you because I know, God, you are capable of doing far beyond what I can ever ask in my flesh. But what's he pray for? Keep looking. It says, I pray that from his glorious and limited resources, he will empower you with inner strength. Man, what a prayer to pray for each other. I pray that from all of your power, you will empower this person with inner strength. As I get a little older, celebrate more and more birthdays, I get weaker and weaker. Every year, it seems. The Appalachian Trail was, I'm going to blame it on the AT. The AT was brutal on my body. Very, very difficult. 2,200 miles of extreme rugged terrain. After 1,000 or so, your body starts eating its own muscle simply for fuel to try to make it. The last couple hundred miles, it's just it's a torture test. Tough. But the fact is, as we get older, so my body ate all of its muscle, there's nothing left. As we get older, we get weaker also. We lose strength. That's just a fact of life. Then combine that with sitting at a desk all day, most days, all throughout the week, get weaker. Weaker and weaker. Physical strength is not where it used to be years and years ago. I see these football players, you know, playing for the Vermilion. By the way, they're playing today at 1:30, I think, in the playoffs. So, anyway, I see these players and how strong they are. And I remember those days. I'm not near like that anymore. Weaker physically. But Paul's not praying for physical strength. He says, I pray to the God of the universe that created everything, that's all powerful, that you be strengthened on the inner man, the inside, that we have inner strength. Let me tell you, if I had to pick one or the other, physical or inner strength, I'll choose inner strength every day. Physical strength helps sometimes. Inner strength helps all the time. Inner strength is what gets us through life's problems. Life's difficulties. Some of you in here have had unbelievable heartache in your lives. Tragedy that we can't hardly even explain how brutal. Today we see suicide at epidemic rates. We've all lost loved ones. We've all been bullied and picked on, whether it was in school or coworkers or even people in church. How do you deal with loss that hurts that much? How can you possibly face it? It's inner strength that we need when we face life's challenges and difficulties that we are absolutely promised on this earth we will face. Trials and tribulations. We need inner strength. And how do we get that inner strength? I just can't get enough of this. I pray that from His glorious and limited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. How do we get inner strength inside us? The strength that will never fail, that will always be there and be available, is through His Spirit. Every believer is indwelt with the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And so we are empowered with strength on the inside as God Himself, this same God that has created heaven and earth and has unlimited power and resources, dwells in us, dwells inside us. We continue looking at proper prayer in verse 17. It says, then Christ will make His home in your hearts. Remember, true disciples, genuine followers of Christ, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We sometimes get in the way of that Spirit, of the Spirit. The Spirit is promised to all believers. And sometimes we feel weak in the inner man. We feel weak spiritually. We feel like He's far away, not there, like we're not strong, because not because He's less powerful, but because we get in His way. We limit the Spirit's access sometimes to parts of our lives. When we pray for ourselves using this owner's manual, we need to pray that we remove ourselves and get out of the way and allow the Spirit full reign inside us to empower us. He says, then Christ will make His home in your hearts. And that's where we get prayers like, Lord, please come and live inside my heart. He does. He cleans up our hearts. It's far more complicated than that. But pray that God will dwell in our hearts as we, the next part, as we trust in Him. Some translations say by faith in Him. Faith and trust, it's the same word. This is not saving faith. That's already happened. This is for believers. This isn't a saving trust. This is a maturing trust, an ever-deepening faith. As we've already trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we are more and more like Him, trusting Him more and more, maturing on the road as a disciple. Trust and faith, ever-increasing maturity. First visit to Ely was back in 2016, and we stayed out at Deer Ridge Resort for like a week before Teresa and I went into the Boundary Waters. And that was the week of the third week of July, big blowdown. Some of you remember very clearly. Bleachers in the park were thrown around and mangled, big trees down. Town was without power for a day. Deer Ridge was without power for 3 days. My two Kevlar canoes laying on the ground, untouched. That's how powerful our God is. Thank you, Lord. Huge blowdown. Trees everywhere. Two people lost their lives during that blowdown up on Basswoods through the Scouts program. One thing that we learned here in Ely is that it only looks like there's dirt on top of the ground. It's a lie. It's not really dirt. It's just some old decaying pine needles. Because about this far underneath is ledge rock. There's solid rock about that deep. So guess what the tree's roots do? They don't go down, do they? They go out sideways. So then they're easily blown over. Back in Illinois, there isn't a rock in Illinois. Nowhere. They don't allow them. 8 feet of black dirt, however, there is. Corn really, really likes that. Trees like it because their roots don't go out so much. They go down way, way deeper. I noticed in Ely right away, when you see these trees toppled over in the forest, there's a giant spread of roots that takes up half the sanctuary. Giant spread of roots, but there's no taproot. They're all on the surface. Because of that, they're easily blown down. Look at this next part of verse 17. I'll just read the whole verse 17. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts, as you ever increasingly trust in Him. And get this, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. What a prayer to pray for each other, that our roots, your roots, would grow down into God's love to keep us strong. God's love is the basis for all that we believe. There is a radical difference between Christianity and every other false religion in the world. Radical difference. The primary difference is God's love. All other religions say two things. Jesus is not God, and the best you can hope for is to work really hard and maybe, just maybe, when you die, you'll have done enough to make your God happy. Christianity says that Jesus is most certainly God and that you could never do enough to make God happy. He did it for you by dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. In so doing, he proved his love for us. Radical difference. Our roots are to be down into this basis of our belief, God's love. I love verses like Romans 5:8 says, God proved his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Mom and Dad are up from Illinois, the land of no rocks and lots of dirt. And we were talking about John 3:16. They brought a dollar bill with them that someone had given them, or they had gotten it in, you know, cash register, whatever, and it had Bible verses written all over it. Bible verses, Jesus saves, things like that all over it. It was pretty neat. So we talked about some of the Bible verses. Well, guess one of them was John 3:16. And so we all quoted it. The kids did, Mom and Dad did. For God so loved the world. Quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Such is the proof and the power of God's love. And if we're going to be rooted in anything, why don't we put our roots deep down into God's love? That's what Christianity is. It's the foundation and the rock that all of our belief, all of our faith is built upon. Let's tap into that in our prayers. Then we are strong against the winds of life, these trials and tribulations that come at us, these winds that blow against us. The next part of the owner's manual that we're reading here about how to powerfully and properly pray before God is verse 18. It says, and then you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love actually is. Our prayer, our good prayer, proper prayer, should be that all of us, each other, ourselves included, understand ever increasingly, we fathom ever increasingly more and more how big God's love actually is, how wide and deep and high and tall and all those different things, ever increasingly, the vastness and overarching love that God has shown for us. It changes everything. And I love this next part, verse 19. Paul says, may you experience the love of Christ. If you want to pray properly for me, for yourselves, for your loved ones, and for each other, pray that we experience God's love. Experience Christ's love. Talk about fantastic, powerful, perfect, passionate prayer. Pray that each of us experiences Jesus' love in our lives. The word experience means to know intimately, to have experienced it intimately. Some people really like answers. They really like Bible studies that prove something. Sometimes there's something to be said for not just simply knowing the answer, but experiencing that answer, having done it, been there and done that. We went to the Grand Canyon some years ago. I'd seen pictures of it. I had an idea that it was pretty big. I believed it was there. In fact, I believe with all my heart that the Grand Canyon existed. Seen pictures of it, seen videos of it. I believed it. It wasn't until I actually got there and saw it with my own eyes that I could begin to grasp just the sheer enormity of the Grand Canyon. We didn't walk down to the bottom, but I'm sure if you do that and walk back up, you'll know it even more intimately. How about if you go down and across and up the other side and back, the rim to rim to rim, you'll know that Grand Canyon inside and out. You can understand and tell others the vastness of this Grand Canyon. That's what it's like to experience it. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. We can't always understand everything. We don't always understand everything about God. He is absolutely above us. We can't fully understand it. That's okay. It's all right. We don't have to. We don't have to understand everything. I really appreciate our Chevy truck. I like it a lot. It's four-wheel drive. It's got four doors. You can fit up to six people in there. You can pull a camper. You can haul stuff in the back. I really, really like our truck. I don't understand it. I don't know everything about how it works, but I like getting in it and hearing the engine start up and going where I need to go. I don't understand all of it, but I've experienced it and I know it. And because it's a Chevy, it'll work forever and ever. And never break down, unlike some other ones. I don't understand electricity. I don't know. I know if you touch it, it shocks you. But I know when I flip the switch, it comes on, and I like the lights when it's dark out and they come on. I don't understand electricity, but I can appreciate it. I've experienced what it does, and that's more important. Paul says, and may you have the power to understand. Oh no, whoops, wrong verse. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. It's greater that we experience Christ than we understand Christ. If you have to pick one or the other, let's experience Him. You and I experience God's love. It radically changes our lives. It changes everything inside us. What's the purpose of this owner's manual that we're reading? I love the last part or the next part of verse 19. This explains it all. Why read an owner's manual? Because this is the end result. It says if we do all those things, if we prayed for all those things, we've experienced all those things, it says then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Why pray this way so passionately, in a proper way, that we will be made complete with the fullness of life and experience the power of God? You see, all human beings, all humans are lacking something. God built us missing Him. We're missing something, and we've all done it, and we've seen so many others do it. We try to fill that void with so many things: drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, work, children, sports, so many different things. We so eagerly try to fill this emptiness and this void inside us with, and it never works. Those things only bring temporary gratification. Paul says if we pray this way for the power of God Almighty that created heaven and earth to fill us and strengthen us on the inside and experience Him and His love rooted in that foundation of our faith, we'll be made complete, lacking nothing, with the fullness of life. Have you seen someone, hopefully you see it in me at least most of the time, that is just full and complete? Like, it doesn't matter when the wind blows and what we face, we have a rock for our foundation that is Jesus Christ and just simply will not be shaken. That's because of God's power. And it's available for all of us if we just simply prayerfully ask. To be complete, we experience God's love, filled with the Spirit, strengthened by that Spirit, and rooted in His love. Then we are made complete, full and lacking nothing, and in living in His power. I'm so glad that you are here, that each of you are part of this church family, this church body. Our vision is simply building relationships, because we know that you're important and you're important, and together we are so much better than we are alone. We need each other, better together, stronger together, needing each other. And when you're wondering, how do I pray for my worship team this week? How do I pray for my spiritual oversight team members? How do I pray for my pastor and his family? Go to the owner's manual that's shared right here in the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14 to 19. Go to the owner's manual and just follow along. Listen to how I do this as I pray for my dear loved wife. Paul says, when I think of all this, God, when I think of you, when I think of you and your majesty and how you've saved me, O Lord, I fall to my knees and pray to you, O God, because you are the creator of heaven and earth. And Lord, I pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, you will empower Teresa with inner strength through your Spirit. Then Jesus will dwell in her heart as she trusts you. Lord, I pray that her roots will grow down into God's love and keep her strong. And may she have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep your love is. May Teresa experience the love of Jesus, though it's too great to understand fully. And then, and only then, will Teresa be made complete with the fullness of life and the power that comes from you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the owner's manual that we have right here in Scripture, available for us to pray prayers that will change not only this church, but our lives individually and our community and possibly even the world. Pray with me. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us, first of all in Christ, and then also through your word. And I thank you for the power that's contained within your word and this example of a prayer that will change lives. And Lord, I pray that you will instill in each of us this week and for weeks, months, and years to come, the desire to follow this example, to pray this prayer, to lift each other up, to pray for so many people, that we will simply experience you and be filled with you and empowered by you and completed by you, that we will truly lack nothing. Lord, help us to pray for each other that way. Forgive us for our lack of faith, for our sin. Lord, cleanse us and empower us to be your people on mission for you every day. Oh, Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.